number four. It is time once again. I'm feeling good. Lockdown. Number four. I'm the host of Fans of Patrol Lockdown Edition. With me is my lovely and sensitive co-host, Miss Tifflebot. How are you this week, Tiff?
I am feeling great. How about you?
I'm good, man. We missed you on this weekend. It was just me and Smooth, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we was like looking Tifflebot.
Well, here I am, and I'll be back on Saturday's show as well.
Oh, that's awesome, man. So the people can get their stuff together. And boys and girls, we brought back our buddy, our friend, our reoccurring guest that's no longer a guest, Miss Liza Raphael from Love Happens. How are you, Liza?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Oh, man.
Feeling good.
Yeah, well, Tiff, you feeling better than me because I have no alcohol tonight and I need to get some. But but it's time to get it together for the people. So this week, man, we decided to take another detour, man. I think this show is going to be about detours, Tiff. I like this, you know, just doing stuff that we don't do, to, you know, boom, you know. So This week we decided to do A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, Tom Hanks and Philip, what's that, Reyes? And Chris Cooper, who I didn't even know was in this movie until I started watching it. And I was like, oh, Chris Cooper's in this. And
Matthew Rhys.
That's Rhys.
How do you say that?
No. Oh. So are you saying
like Jonathan Rhys Meyers? How do you say that guy's name?
I don't know. So
that's who I thought it was, because I saw Jonathan or Matthew Rhys and I thought, oh, is that Jonathan Rhys Meyers? And I got really excited. It's not that guy.
No, no. This is somebody else. I don't even
know. Some guy I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't know him either, man. So I don't know. Liza, did you know that guy?
I think he's in some TV stuff, but not from anything that I'm like super aware of.
Yeah, they said he was in Americans, The Post, Burnt, and that's what I see. That's what he's known for. So anyway, This cat ends up being like a bigger part of the story than I thought, because I knew nothing about this movie going in, other than I thought it was about the true life story of Mr. Rogers. And that's what
right. I got this movie confused with the documentary that was released in, I think, 2017.
Yes.
That has a similar name. And I thought it was, so I thought this was the documentary of Mr. Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very surprised when I started, not like a documentary, but like a, whatever you call it.
Like a biopic.
Yes, a biopic. But when I started watching it, I was like, oh, it's a story.
Oh, yes.
I mean, it's a true story. It's based on a true story, right? But it's a story. Yeah.
Well, it said based on true events, so.
Right.
That, it gets a little squirrely when you say that, because, you know, you throw in a little truth stuff here, a little fiction there, you know, you can get away with some stuff. But it was rated PG-13 2009, and I promise I haven't been drinking. 1 hour and 49 minutes, which I was happy about after last week's fiasco.
I was so, when I saw that you were going to make me watch this, I thought it was a documentary, and I wasn't upset about it, because like Mr. Rogers, I think, has a big part of, like, a lot of people's childhoods.
Of course.
So I wasn't like, I was like, oh, cool, I'm not opposed to seeing this, but I was like, oh, it's going to be long. And then I always, every time there's something we have to watch for Fans on Patrol, the very first thing I do is look up how long it is.
You suck, Tim. That's terrible.
So when I saw how long this was, I was like, yeah, that's doable.
Yeah, yeah, nice. Because see, we got scarred last week from fooling around with Quentin, man. You know, goodness gracious.
Take up my whole fucking week.
Oh, my goodness. So, man, let me see. So I guess it's time to get it on. So before we take another step, why don't we hit one word? I guess, Liza, what you got for one word?
My one word is emotional.
Oh.
You damn right. Tiff, what you got?
I'm actually going to say opposite, because we kind of talked off the air, me and Liza. I'm going to say it was uplifting.
Okay. And yeah. I don't know if I said this word in the past. I probably have said it in the past. I know I have, but it's the best word that describes this movie to me. It was absolutely delightful.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you got Mr. Rogers, and two things could happen. Your childhood can be totally ruined, or or it can be reinforced. Because I grew up with this cat. It wasn't my favorite show. But it came on right before Sesame Street. So, you know, had my lunch.
So you had to suffer through it.
Oh, no. Yeah, I had my lunch at like 11:30, 12 o'clock. Mr. Rogers came on. Sesame Street came on at 12:30 every day. That was it. And so, you know, I didn't even realize when you're watching this his show as a kid what you were learning. You know, you're like, what am I learning? But, you know, then you get older, yeah. And you're like, oh, shoot. I didn't even realize he kept me together.
He's subliminal messaging us.
Exactly. So let me hit them spoilers before we start stepping into spoiler territory right there for the good people. And like I said, I was very surprised to see Chris Cooper in this movie. And there's a lot of people in this movie. And it gets like that when you do stories like this because you have to supply so many characters. So I'm not going to go through the whole line of them and whatnot. But I did enjoy this movie. So the big surprise, boys and girls, is that when this thing started, a couple things surprised me, y'all. The first thing that surprised me is they was using an old set with the toys to show to depict the cities. I thought that was a pretty wise choice. What do you guys think?
I loved that. I loved the little like interstitials with the music, and that's how you show the plane moving across and travel. It was great.
Yeah, I think like because I thought it was such a great way to tie it back into the actual like world, obviously world of Mr. Rogers, without being like, you know what I mean? Like they didn't even, they did show us the set where Mr. Rogers was taped, but they didn't even necessarily have to do that because you get the idea just from that stuff, which is really cool. It's like a cool set piece, idea.
Yeah. And then we start the whole thing out, and I'm surprised that Tom Hanks playing Fred Rogers is literally doing his show, you know. And mm-hmm. He opens up the picture of Lloyd with the busted face and stuff, and I'm like, all right. So I see what direction this is going in, but, you know, I had no clue that this is how this was going to be laid out, that this was actually going to be about somebody else, you know, and really, funny enough, somebody he really wasn't that close to. And so it was kind of like, this is an interesting choice for this writer, you know, and this director to go with this movie, because it's like you could do all kind of stuff with Mr. Rogers.
Well, it's not really about Mr. Rogers. It's the story of Lloyd.
Absolutely it was, with mm-hmm. the influence of Mr. Rogers everywhere at this pivotal time in his life. And I thought that was an excellent story to tell, other than, you know.
And it's based off of the newspaper or the magazine article. So that's what the source material is for this film.
I wondered if the Esquire part was a real part. I wasn't sure if Lloyd was a true character. So thanks for bringing that, because I didn't know, you know. I was like, mm-hmm. is this part, is this real? Did this happen? You know.
Right.
So Lloyd is a mess, man, you know. Mm-hmm. he's a wreck. He's living in was he in New York?
Yes.
Because I couldn't tell.
Yeah,
they go
to New Jersey for that mm-hmm. for that wedding.
Right. And he has a little kid, and he has a wife, and his sister calls him, and they're going to a wedding, and lo and behold, instantly we have the crux of the problem. Your dad is going to be there. He's giving the sister away, and he's pissed, but he tries to act like he's not. Goes to the wedding. Dad comes in drunk. I love Chris Cooper's playing this role of his dad. I loved Chris Cooper in this role. Next thing you know, he starts a fight. And the wedding guys is hitting Lloyd, and the dad is getting hit by Lloyd, and I just thought that whole scene was funny. what you think? You guys like this or not?
I think like there's a lot of emotionality in this scene because it has humor in some respects, but it also shows like when they go outside and his wife is like telling him like you like so. The great part about this movie is like, well, one of the great things about this movie is that we are learning life lessons just like we would if we were watching Mr. Rogers. And the thing about it is that she's kind of saying, your dad might be a fuck up. We're not going to argue about that.
Of course.
But you have to take responsibility for the actions and the way that you react to those negative emotions that he brings up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he kind of he treats his wife kind of shitty. Kind of in the beginning, I think he's learning, but like he, I don't, that's kind of the worst part for me is.
I think he treated the kid worse than the wife. You didn't really see him touch that kid until later on in the movie.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting way to start the story because essentially you're taking these like external issues and making them physical and visual by having him have a black eye for almost the entirety of the film.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. it's like everything that's been pent up inside of him is like very obvious and he can't hide it from people anymore that he has issues.
Yeah. And he goes to work straight away, gets an assignment, which he's an investigative butthole reporter, you know, and I really like that came out that nobody likes you. Nobody wants you to interview you because he must be one of these cats that twist everybody's words. You give one interview and it comes out and you're a monster on the next one, you know, and she gives him Mr. Rogers because he's being honored as a national hero and he doesn't want to do it, but he goes. And we get to the set and the show's producer can't stand Lloyd from the first moment. And I really liked how that scene played out, the way the guy was.
So that's Enrico Calantoni or whatever, however you say his last name.
Yes.
And I really like him. So like he used to be in Spin City, I want to say is what it was called.
Persons of Interest. He played the villain. One of my favorite shows.
He used to be a long, long, long time ago. I'm like talking about like 90s or 2000s.
I got you.
He was on a show where he played, they worked in like a radio station.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But then of course, or potentially it was a newspaper. But then again, he also played the dad in Veronica Mars.
Oh, okay. One of your favorites.
I really love.
Right.
So that's when I saw him. I was very excited.
Yeah. I like him as an actor, too. And he played that role. Like, just you could see the tension that he had toward him. You know, like, we'll get you set up. Yeah, you'll get 20 minutes. You know. So he goes in and he sees this miracle of a person doing his job, holding everything up because he was, you know, spent an hour talking to a kid from what was it, Make-A-Wish, an autistic kid that nobody could reach.
No, he was just dying of cancer, I think.
Oh, I thought they said Make-A-Wish when he walked in.
It was Make-A-Wish, but Make-A-Wish is for kids who are dying.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I thought the kid was autistic and he was dying because when hugged him and stuff, you know, they seemed surprised.
So I think I will tell you that this part of the movie made me sad. In a totally unrelated way to the movie because like they were showing that because Fred Rogers was a very nice man. And cause like they asked the showrunner or director, I couldn't tell what she was. Then he's like, how often does this happen? And she said, oh, every day.
Right.
But what made me really sad is I wonder how many kids used their Make-A-Wish to meet Mr. Rogers because they thought that the neighborhood, like with Daniel Tiger and stuff like that, was real. And they thought if they went there, they would see the real neighborhood.
Okay, Tifflebot, I think you went way down a rabbit hole on that one.
It made me really sad.
Goodness gracious, dude.
Right, but that's like true of any, you know, children's show. If they wanted to meet like Big Bird or, I mean, Sesame Street actually exists in a like life-size place, but like, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
So anyway,
he's sidetrack just to make you a little sad. Right. Everyone.
I wasn't sad. I thought it was cool. The kid, you know, he gave him a hug. I was like, see that gentleness, man. That dude should just have some wings on his back while he's sitting there talking to that kid. And but Lloyd's not buying it. None of it. You know, he comes out. He says a couple words, and he's, you know, running the show, has creative influence, and you know, they get back to work, and he's supposed to interview Lloyd supposed to have an hour.
And they 20 minutes.
Well, he said 20 minutes, but he was supposed to have an hour. And
then it was 20 minutes, and then I think he got like 10 minutes.
He got like 10 minutes, and I think he talked about, he was asking Lloyd questions, you know. You know, where are we at now after they closed the interview down and he was pissed, and I was thinking that was all he was going to get, that he was going to have to try to fight to get more. But
And I just want to bring up that he's been asked to write 400 words.
Right.
Which is like four paragraphs.
Right, it's like a grade school essay, man.
It's very short.
Right, right. He protests that with his boss and stuff, who I actually really liked as an actress. I think she was very, she was amusing every time I saw her, every time she talked to her. And I like the conversation that he ended up having with his wife in the bed later about don't ruin her childhood, because he kept saying that this guy is too nice. It's just something about him. And I was like, damn. And I'm sitting there thinking, y'all, while we watching this, I was like, well, he's passed now. And if Mr. Rogers was a creep, we would have found out about it a long time ago, man, with the way people dig into stuff now these days, you know, like, you would know it, you know, it's nothing will be left uncovered now these days, man. But no, he was the real deal. And Lloyd just couldn't get over that. So in the meantime, Lloyd comes home from these things and his dad is out there waiting, which I thought was pretty admirable for the dad. Yes, the dad was a jerk, but he spent 2 days outside the house waiting for him to come out to reconnect with him, and we didn't know why at this chance. Did you guys have any feeling why the dad was trying to reconnect? Did you know, Liza?
I didn't know why he was doing it. I thought, you know, he was talking about do we find out about the like new wife at this point?
He was sitting outside the house. Remember, he kept checking. He was there for like a couple of days, and then after he wasn't
right.
There.
So like Lloyd is kind of doing some investigative journalism stuff by like watching old interviews, and then he has a second interview where Mr. Rogers calls him up and takes him to New York. So we have that whole New York scenario before we see the dad and the wife.
And that's when he meets his wife. And right, he meets his wife and, you know, didn't know he was talking to the wife. I'm so glad he didn't like call him no names or nothing like that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So he meets Mrs. Rogers. And these scenes, I would say that the New York scenes are some of my favorite in the movie, because like we get the scene where he's watching the little orchestra, and then the scene where he's on the subway and all the kids sing to him, which I thought was very touching and as a great scene in the movie.
That had me a little choked up right there. I swear to God.
Yeah,
I was like,
there was times watching this movie, and the reason that I say it's uplifting is because a lot of times during this movie, I was find myself smiling, and I'm not like when I watch movies, I don't usually smile or react unless they're like funny.
I agree.
So like they get to the apartment that. Like, so Mr. Rogers has an apartment in New York because they travel to New York a lot. And so this part, he gets his puppets out and he's kind of talking to Lloyd, kind of therapizing him. And this at this point in the movie is when I realize that as much as I like Mr. Rogers as a television personality, and as much as I think he's a great person, and as much as this movie makes him seem to be a great person, I personally would not want to spend any time with him, because I would also find these things to be very intrusive and annoying.
Yeah, he's real weird.
Like, yeah.
there's no getting around that. And I think that Hanks as Fred Rogers is like a master work of casting, because imagine anyone else in this role like attempting this and being taken seriously? Because I can't.
One thing I kept in the back of my mind is I watched the hearings that Mr. Rogers had, you know, to keep continuing funding public television. Mm-hmm. And there is no difference between him and his character. You know what I'm saying? He was in there talking to senators. If you ever get a chance to see that, it's on YouTube. You can check that out. It's really, really good. But you see him and he's just pleading, you know, to continue this funding and why he explains why it's important, you know, for the enrichment of the kids and stuff like that. And it was like, man, that dude, that hit me years ago. I was like, he the real deal. You would think, you know, did you see somebody walk off the set smoking a cigar talking about, get these goddamn kids away from me, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
But no, this dude was real.
I think that the documentary that Tiffany mentioned, Won't You Be My Neighbor, that came out a couple years ago, is a really good way to like look at some of those things in depth. I saw that when it came out, and it's like all historical footage. It includes those Senate hearings. He talks about like using his show to communicate things that small kids don't necessarily understand, like the Vietnam War or 9/11, like stuff like that you don't don't normally think of with children's programming, and I highly recommend the documentary.
That's why with this performance that Hank was doing, and I was like, that's him, man. You know, I mean, yeah, I mean, that was him. I mean, I agree. If he pulled out the puppets on me, I'm be like, oh, damn, put the puppets out. Don't bring out the puppets. So yeah, Lloyd storms out. And then I think that's when he ends up back in New York, right?
He goes home and his dad is there. Right. Jerry is there with the girlfriend.
And he stone cold throw them out like they scumbags, Jack.
So this is hard to watch, but he talks about his mother dying of cancer and how he left her cheat on her. And so then he has like a heart attack or something.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, I thought he was having a stroke hospital or something, but right.
Yeah.
So daddy's dying, man. And this is the scene, I think, when Lloyd leaves the wife. And that's a good woman that she was there when he came back, boy. Because goodness gracious, when he walked away from her in the hospital and stuff. And, you know, she was sitting there like, this your family. I was like, damn, dude. You going to walk out and leave her there? And I thought that was a good performance by both of those actors at that point. You know, with that argument in the hospital, that quiet sort of kind of argument. And but I didn't get with him thinking he saw Mr. Rogers and started chasing him all the way to the bus station and all that stuff and getting on the bus. I mean, well, I don't know. What the hell was that all about?
It's not really articulated that well in the movie, but I think he's like suffering from stress or exhaustion. So he's having, so because we see him having that, and then he has like he passes out when he gets there and has like a fantasy about being on one of the puppets on the show.
Yeah.
Which is a surreal part of the movie, but it's fine. It kind of works. So, you know, at the moment, a movie where someone has like a realization or like a transformative moment.
Yeah, that was that moment. That's absolutely.
That's kind of it, but it's kind of, but I mean, stuff happens later that's more concrete, like that's more grounded in reality. That kind of, I guess, his turning point. So, like, after he passes out, for instance, he wakes up at Mr. Rogers' house, right?
Yeah, and what a nice house he had. Boy, oh, boy. Them all white everywhere and the dueling pianos and shit. I was like, man, he made a little bit of money in Republic.
Those pianos are crazy.
Yeah. I mean, two baby grand.
I can imagine doing that with Mike, like with my significant other, like, you know what I mean? But like, you know, we all have our things.
Yeah, what a cool thing to have. I mean, it's almost kind of funny though. Back in the day, it's like, I'm older than both of y'all. It seemed like almost every teacher could play the piano back in the day. It was a piano in every school, in every classroom and stuff when I was a kid. So, you know, if you're in the teaching field, I don't know what the wife did, but, you know, Mr. Rogers was kind of a teacher. So anyway, man, Lloyd wakes up there, you know, and he don't know which way is up, man. It was time for him to get his life together. So this is a slow, rocky montage of him getting himself together from this point on in the movie. That, you know,
yes,
he got to change and stuff, you know, and he don't want to be the jerk he's been. And, you know, he got to go apologize and, you know, tell a wife he's sorry and stuff. And so I was glad to see the turnaround coming at this point, because if it would have went a little further into the rabbit hole, I'd have been like, oh, shit. OK, I'm getting tired of this. You know, I know me. I would have been like, OK, it's just getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. So the pops is dying, man. He don't got much time. He has something. Do they ever tell you what he got? I don't think so, huh?
So I'm looking and it says cardiac stenosis.
Yeah, I don't remember them ever saying that.
Whatever, you know, that is.
You got a heart problem.
Got a problem. He's dying. That's all we need to know.
Right. And so, you know, he goes to the dad's house, man, and, you know, he's making his peace. And I was very surprised at this thing, you know, that when he showed up at the dad's door and the dad was in the front room, and I'm glad him and the girlfriend were cool. And then it's his journey starts with him trying to rebuild himself as his father is dying. And then next thing you know, the wife is there, you know, and they're kind of living there, you know. And I was like, wow. So he went all in, which is something. So I dug this part of the movie. What about you, Liza?
I liked it too. I think that it's interesting that it's like his relationship with his father is sort of like he's trying to explain it to himself, like figure it out for himself, as well as like decipher who Fred Rogers is at the same time. like those understandings are kind of a parallel for him. Like he's trying to figure out both things, and while they're not the same, clearly they're not the same, but they, you know, one's sort of impacting the other.
Right. So
yeah.
After this, you know, I like the scene where Mr. Rogers comes to the house. I thought that was cool as hell. I hope that happened for real. You know.
Yeah, that was a great scene.
And especially the brother-in-law, like we should be taking a picture with him. I thought the same thing. I was like,
it was just fun to see, yeah, like how you would react if somebody from your childhood, like as a hero, like just shows, everyone's like, oh my god, because even his wife was like when he calls her on the phone earlier in the movie and she's so excited and she's like, Mr. Rogers knows my name. And it's just like one of those things, I think, like that you know, everyone, like you're kind of reverted to your childhood self, you're just so excited.
I could tell you one thing about his ass. He sure was an intrusive old bastard, boy. He asked a lot of questions, boy. He's like, Andrea, I called to talk to you. I'm like, oh, shit, dude. You know, I'm like, wow. And they had been having conversations and stuff. And so, you know, the manager said it all when he said he loves people like you. You know, somebody, you know, like you. He's like, well, like, what does that mean, like me? You know, I was like, yeah, somebody broke like you, boy. You know, so I guess he was his one project at a time, trying to help somebody. So, you know, what happens at this point, Tiff? Does the pop croak and what's going on? Yeah.
So, like, at the end of that visit, Mr. Rogers asks the dad to pray for him.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, I think, like, our, I don't know, like, his saintly moment. And then, like, yeah, so then very shortly after that, we see
the little toy car,
the funeral.
Yeah. And then right, the funeral. And then at this point he gets the his whole story comes together, right? The Mr. Rogers story is like 10,000 words and stuff like that, and it's supposed to be 400 words.
Yeah.
Ends up being an expose, and I love when the boss says, I love it, you know. I'm like, that's cool, man. You know, so they print this big expose about Mr. Rogers, and everybody loves it, man. And I like how that happened before that, because I remember the driver was not the driver, the manager was out there, was like, I read the article. He was like, yeah, you know, like he gave him like the, yeah, okay, you know, like he didn't trust them until that article was gonna come out, man. You know, and I don't know. I think we pretty much ran through it right after that.
No, I want to talk about the end.
Go ahead, talk about the end, because
so we show him at the studio,
mm-hmm.
and it's just another filming. They show him, you know, kind of okaying a scene that he shot.
Okay.
And then it shows him playing the piano.
Oh yeah.
And then he smashes the keys, and I think it's to display that he's just. I mean, like, I wanted to know what you guys thought about this scene, because am I supposed to take, because like earlier in the movie, he says, oh, there's ways with dealing with anger. And one of the ways he listed was smashing the low keys on a piano.
Yeah.
And so in this scene, we see him smashing the low keys on the piano, and then he starts to play like a normal, beautiful song. And I was like, am I supposed to take this as like Mr. Rogers is just eternally full of rage that he's just smashing down inside of himself? I wasn't sure how I was supposed to take that scene.
Liza?
I mean...
Well, I thought it was more of, like, showing... Like, you spend 90% of the movie seeing, like, him solve other people's issues and, like, display, you know, perfect behavior. This is how you handle things. And then at the end, he gets this moment to be like, nobody's here. Nobody's paying attention. I can just, like... let it out. And like you see, okay, this is where he like practices what he preaches, sort of thing.
Exactly. That's how I thought about it.
I do think like earlier in the movie his wife does say, well, he's not perfect, he's working at it. So I did kind of think that maybe this was a scene showing that like we could all, the message from his wife was like that we could all be a Mr. Rogers. But, like, are we willing to... Because being a good person is work. Being a nice person is work. It's like, how much work are you willing to put in?
And I was sitting there, and I had a big smile on my face and stuff. I mean, I felt really good. after this movie. I felt good watching the movie. And it was some scenes, like I said, and I was choked up like hell. I'm sitting there like, don't you? And I didn't, but but I had to, you know. So it's a great damn movie, man. You know, great movie. Okay.
Yeah, well. I enjoyed it too. I emotional was not to say like that it was good or bad. It was to say like it was. There are some emotional moments, and if you're not prepared for it. It's like kind of a warning.
Yeah, it is. It could be. I could see this being a somewhat emotionally taxing movie.
Oh, you know, when you said that in the text, emotional, I was like, damn it, this is gonna be a tragic story. Like, you know, this nice guy, like his son got murdered. You know, the baby died. You know, the miscarriage happened. All this stuff, you know, I was like, damn, it's going to be a reason why he's, you know, such a gem, you know, that he went through all this hell, you know, that's what I thought this was going to be about, but then it turned out being about something else, and I thought that was cool, you know, one thing when I see stuff like this, when Hollywood, especially after a person passes, is like, are y'all about to destroy this person, now that he gone, you know what I'm saying, because we like to do that in Hollywood sometimes, you know. Now let's tell the truth, you know what I'm saying? Let's show all the dirt, you know?
No, I don't think that that's, like, going to be anyone's goal with Mr. Rogers. But I do believe, because, like, names were changed as far as the main character goes. Mm-hmm. And I do believe there was some, like, controversy about the way that he was represented in the film. So... I don't know all the details about that, but like there's, you know,
a little something.
You can't do an entirely accurate, perfect thing that will make everyone happy. So
unless they do a, you know, story about my life, and then, you know, it'll be almost like Kal-El from Krypton type of story. I think they might think.
who's playing you in that biopic?
Ooh, shit! You hit me with a big daddy, man. Goodness. Oh, you know who it'll be? It'll be Baku from Black Panther. Dukes. It'll be Dukes.
He's too short.
That dude is tall.
How tall is he?
Oh, I'm not talking about the Black Panther. I'm talking about Baku.
Right. Yes.
That dude is like.
Isn't he short?
No, he's like 6'3", 6'4".
Oh, okay. He's good.
Yeah, he's good. A big, tall fella. But he'll be me. What about you? That's a hell of a question. What about you, Liza?
Oh, I'm directing the movie. I'm
not in it. Tiff, who's playing you?
I think that the person who looks the most like me is Kelly Clarkson.
Damn, that's true.
That's a good one. That
does she act?
Yeah, she's been in like From Justin to Kelly.
So I'm gonna ask you again, does she act?
Finish that sentence for me.
I think she could be persuaded to act.
Okay, she gotta be Tiffelbot. Check that out. We gotta have to ask Moo this question. Who's playing you? Snoop Dogg is playing Snoop.
Oh shit.
Shit is right. We came to do the damn thing, and we got it done. We'd like to thank our guests for coming on and doing our lockdown series. But before I let you guys go, Liza, tell the people where they can touch everything that Love Happens.
You can follow Love Happens on all your favorite social media channels on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook is at Love Happens Film. We also have a website, lovehappensfilm.com. And if you want to follow my personal Twitter account, it's Liza J. Raphael. I post random things, not super exciting, but you can follow if you want to.
If you want to. You can come on, Tiff, step aboard. All right, Tiff, we came to do the damn thing, and we got it done. My name is Montego Bradley. I'm host of Fans of Patrol Lockdown. With me is my sensitive co-host, Miss Tiffelbot. Say goodbye to the people, Tiff.
It's been a midweek pleasure.
Midweek pleasure. And our special guest, please say goodbye, Miss Raphael.
It's been great being here in the middle of all of everything.
Indeed. And until next week, y'all, we will be
on
Patrol.